I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know they have the turnover chain. We're gonna have to get you a hater chain.
And Chris Ello.
You may not be a Grinch, but your shoes look a little too tight, my friend.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And away we go with day number three of baseball's winter meetings for 2019. Welcome to the Manchester Grand Hyatt. It is Gwynn and Chris, Chris Ello along with Tony Gwynn Jr. And, of course, our baseball coverage of the baseball winter meetings brought to you by your San Diego County Honda dealers. And I came in today. I didn't eat lunch, Tony, because I figured Garrett Cole could just buy lunch for everybody today here at the baseball winter meetings.
He is a wealthy, man, but it's right as we predicted. Once we saw Steven Strasburg's numbers go across, I think both thought it was going to be north of 300, and sure enough, it was.
It was way north of 300. Buster only tweeting out that Garrett Cole, Giancarlo Stanton are two of the five highest paid players in baseball per year, but they're going to get paid more next season than the Baltimore Orioles will pay their entire roster, according to Buster Olney. So when the Yankees want to do something, and you know what I heard this last night, you know the Yankees did not make it to the World Series this decade. The last time they've been in the World Series was 2009. So from 2010 to 2019, no World Series for the New York Yankees. Do you know when the last time that happened?
No.
100 years ago.
It's been a while.
100 years ago. They didn't make it between 1910 and 1919. Oh, stop, Thomas. That's not turning back time. That's just giving some information. But, no, so it's been 100 years since the Yankees won a decade or, you know, an entire calendar decade without making the World Series. So I think they're serious about getting back there.
Wow. So they signed CC Sabathia in the offseason of 2008.
Yeah.
Win the World Series. And then go World Series-less
for 10 years.
2010 to 2019.
I mean, the Red Sox have had their number this decade. The Astros have taken over in the American League. The Rangers and the Tigers got into a World Series. So the Royals snuck in there a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, that's blasphemous if you're a Yankee fan.
That is.
That the Kansas City Royals were in two World Series this decade and the Yankees weren't in any.
Now,
so
I wonder why they were quite
that
irritated.
Is no surprise that the Yankees would go that hardcore to get their man.
And much like in 2008.
Yeah, the same thing.
When they went out and got CC, there was no shot for anybody else because the Yankees were willing to go far and above where everybody else is. This is the exact same thing.
Now, the interesting thing I don't know if it's interesting, but it maybe concerns me more than anything now with the signing of Garrett Cole. Does this mean that the Dodgers feel like they have to sign somebody big time just to kind of keep up with the Joneses, as it were? Because if it does, then that means Anthony Rendon could be winding up in Los Angeles, and God, the Padres already have enough of their work cut out for them. I would like Anthony Rendon to go to the East. Stay on the East Coast, Anthony, and just enjoy yourself back there because we don't need him in this division. I mean, it's going to make it a lot tougher.
Well, I mean, listen, I think it sounds like and it has seemed like it didn't matter whether it was Cole, Rendon, that they seemingly are going after somebody big. I think, obviously, it sounds like they were one of the second-place finisher in this Garrett Cole race. They got their deal up right at 300, maybe a little bit above.
So when you're shopping for something big and you finish second, your taste buds are kind of
you got that taste in your mouth.
Yeah, and you want to get somebody.
And there aren't very many other players left that could satisfy that taste,
except
for Anthony Rendon. So
yeah, I know.
We'll see how that kind of unfolds.
That's all we need is Anthony Rendon coming into the division with the Dodgers. It's what a lot of people think will happen. Perhaps he'll go to the Angels.
Yeah,
that would be a lot better. To be honest with you, but
anybody but the Dodgers.
Yeah, stay out of the NL West. The Dodgers, my goodness, they've won 7 consecutive division titles. That is, you know, we were talking to some people earlier. I mean, everybody wants to know, you know, how are the Padres going to do and how are they doing, and whenever they talk to us, everything having to do with the Padres' success, you have to consider what the Dodgers may or may not be able to do, because eventually the Padres have to compete with, beat out the Dodgers. And that's so the Padres can make all the right moves, but if the Dodgers keep adding Rendons and people like that, if they were able to do that, that just keeps making the distance further to cover.
Yeah, and that's the factor that no one wants to talk about or that no one's really thought about, right, is that, yes, the Padres are going to do whatever it takes to make this team allow this team to contend, but the Dodgers are going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah. We mentioned that, too, because everybody talked about the great Padres rebuilding job and the number one farm system and, and 2020 and 2021. And I think we mentioned it at the time. But the Dodgers will not be just backing down and letting the Padres win the division those years.
Right. People act as though the Padres are the only ones drafting. Like, the Dodgers are drafting, too.
Yes, they
consider themselves to have pretty good scouts.
They're pretty good at it.
So I just think we all need to be mindful of that. I think, as I said, the Padres are going to do whatever it takes to make this team a contender. But they are going to also be in, you know, in the same line as what the Dodgers, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Giants are all going to do.
I'm amazed, Rax, honestly, thinking back, not to last season, but how about 2 seasons ago, just to prove that it's possible, the Rockies actually tied the Dodgers for the division title and took them to a 1-game playoff. So maybe that gives hope to the rest of the teams in the division that it can happen if everything breaks right. Because last year the Rockies were 30-some-odd games behind the Dodgers. They weren't even in the same ballpark.
Nobody was.
We'll see. All right, we're kicking off the show in style today. Jace Tingler, the manager of the Padres, is going to join us here in just about 5 minutes. So sit tight wherever you are. A chance for us and you to meet Jace Tingler, the new Padres manager. And then we're going to stay in the division. Gabe Kapler, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, also expected to join us here in the first hour of the program. Yesterday's show is going to be tough to top, but we're going to kick it off in style anyway. Yesterday, if you missed it, we had A.J. Preller, we had Don Mattingly, we had Cliff Floyd. Did you see him on TV later in the night with
the
cranberry suit?
Yeah.
My goodness, I can't believe how well-dressed that guy was. And I was almost intimidated. He was looking so sharp. But we had a great show yesterday, and we'll have a lot more fun here at the baseball winter meetings today. What else? And then there were 5.
And then there were 5.
Did you see my tweet last night? No.
I did not.
There are 5 undefeated teams left now in college basketball.
Yes, because Louisville.
Louisville lost, Maryland lost, and Butler lost. So 3 of them went down last night. Aztecs got a little love on the Sports Center, although, because they put the 5 teams up there, but when they mentioned the Aztecs, they're like, yeah, but do they really belong on this list? They just barely beat San Jose State. So
now, of course, they go to that one.
They go to that, instead of what they have accomplished. All right, so we'll get into some basketball and all that other stuff as we go along. But baseball is the focus. Jace Tingler, the manager of the Padres, set to join us here in a couple of moments. So we'll step aside here, get the thing off and rolling. It's Gwynn and Chris. It is San Diego's number one sports station. It is 97.3 The Fan.
Day 3 here at the 2019 winter meetings. Tony Gwynn Jr. here, Chris Ello. We got a jam-packed show for you today, and joining us right now is a very special guest. Padres' new manager, Jace Tingler, joins us. Jace, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. We just got done with our manager interviews, this afternoon, this morning, or whatever, and so it's good to be here.
What are those?
Go over new rules. Obviously, it's a chance to meet all the managers. They kind of lock us in a room and do some photo ops, and then, you know, kind of talk about the new rules, the things to expect for the upcoming year, and maybe some things that are in play, maybe not for the 2020 year, but some ideas rolling around maybe 2021-22, and a bunch of good baseball men kicking ideas.
What has your first experience as a manager here at the winter meetings been like?
It's been busy. It's been a lot of interviews.
Welcome to another
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But that part's good. And then, you know, it's always fun sitting up with your baseball group, hearing the scouts talk on players around the league, you know, guys working the phone, things like that. I think the truth is our group did a lot of work the week prior to this week. And so now it's a little bit, you know, kind of waiting and, you know, seeing what else is out there.
I wonder how much of the process you can just kind of share with us. I mean, being part of the Texas Rangers organization and knowing A.J. Preller, and the managerial job opens up and everybody starts bringing up name after name after name after name. How do you get yourself to be a candidate to be a big league manager, or how much can you tell us about all of that? I'm just curious how you got from there to here. It's a phenomenally great story, and it's nobody predicted Jace Tingler was going to be the manager of the Padres, so I think it's sensational that you got it done.
Yeah, as far as the process, I don't know. I just worked and did my job with Texas, and I'd done, you know, a lot of different roles over the last couple of years, including, you know, a lot of roles on the minor league side, some roles at the front office as assistant, and then, you know, three years with the major league team, being down in the dugout and coaching there. You know, I think for people, you know, maybe didn't know who I was. I took a lot of pride in kind of staying behind the scenes with Texas. I always felt when I was there, it was, whether it was John Daniels or Jeff Banister or Chris Woodward, I always felt it was their role to get on the radio, get on TV, talk about the team.
Right.
And it was always, you know, my role to be behind the scenes, working with players, kicking ideas, doing, you know, some heavy lifting on the field. So I wasn't out there putting myself out there. I was just doing my job.
Yeah.
And, you know, how this thing came about, I really don't know. You know, that's probably a question for, you know, the front office group. But I think, like, you know, scouts that are around, baseball people around, I think, like, you know, they're paying attention, and it's good.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Your name, although maybe in the mainstream of the baseball follower, might not have been out there. People around the game of baseball knew who Jace Tingler was. I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, you've been manager now, how long have we been? About a month?
Haven't won a game yet.
Haven't lost one, though.
Nope.
There you go.
You're 0-0. We're good. Everything's clean. How have you been able to, reach out, talk to some of the guys? And I want to get your take on your new acquisition, Tommy Pham.
Yeah, that's what the last 4 or 5 weeks have been about. We've been working on putting the staff together. That was kind of the number one priority. And as we're going through interviews and things like that, I'm putting out calls, putting out texts, sometimes jumping on flights and seeing guys. So it's been really good to watch guys work in their kind of hometown, or certainly on their turf, and whether it's have dinner and work out. So that part's been really good. As far as like Tommy Pham, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him a couple days ago, you know, basically as soon as the physical stuff went down. And we, you know, just kind of – just more introduction than anything. He had history in Escogido in winter ball. So I had some connections there, whether it was Moises Alou or Jose Gomez, the current general manager down there. So I had some background with him. And, you know, we talked a little winter ball. We talked about his plans for the offseason. We talked about expectations. And I just told him I just truly admire watching him from the other dugout over the past couple years.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that to me seems like a self-made man, and he's improving every year. And those things don't just happen. There's work and there's sweat and there's blood that goes into that. And so I look forward to seeing him work in person.
Jace Tingler is with us, the Padres manager. What are some of the expectations you have for yourself? What are some of the things you'd like to accomplish in this first year?
I think the biggest expectation is I just want to be clear with the expectations. I want to lay out, you know, some plans. I want to be structured, want to have a little bit of discipline, and then come game time, after we practice those things. I hope to create an environment where it's like truly enjoyable to play the game. I want to see guys play with passion, play with energy, play the game hard. I like communication. I like guys that can get off the ball, move defensively. I love aggressive base running. You know, we want to see up and down the lineup good at bats. We love pitchers that are attacking the zone. So these are some of the things that we want to get across, not only these next couple months, certainly through spring training, and then hopefully as the season you know, gets going, we can hit the ground running.
Now you kind of answered the next question I'm going to ask you, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. You talked about wanting to be an aggressive team in the zone. What type of style of baseball is this roster going to look like?
Well, I think as you look at the last couple moves, whether it's, you know, Pham and it's Grisham and it's Profar, you know, we're looking for guys that can get on base a little bit more, maybe grind an at bat. And not to say that the guys were bad at it last year. We're going to need guys that were here to continue to improve
right.
that. You know, it's no secret. In the game today, we just heard the commissioner talk about it. It's, you know, he's concerned about the lack of balls in play.
Action.
Yeah. Hmm. And you know, in today's game, it's probably the hardest that it's ever been to do that. You have pitchers throwing at an all-time high of velocities. You have, you know, spin rates with vertical movement, and guys are clustering their pitches and tunneling them. You can't pick up rotation until the halfway point. And so it's something that, as a group, we've got to get better at. And I think that, you know, our group's willing to work at that. And that's, if there's any type of style that we could bring, I hope as a group collectively, can we increase our on-base percentage a little bit? Can we get the ball in play a little bit more? And then we want to be a clean unit defensively. You know, we're moving, getting off the ball. We're taking care of the ball. We're throwing it to the right bases. We're finishing plays, and we're talking on the field.
Jace Tingler is with us, manager of the Padres. And, Jace, you kind of touched on this, too, when you went around and you met a lot of the Padre players and stuff. It's still it's a really a small world baseball, because you talked about Tommy Pham, how you have a connection. A lot of people might say, well, you know, how does Jace Tingler fit? How does he know this organization? But in a lot of ways, you probably cross paths with almost every one of these players, either in the other dugout or yours or somewhere in a minor league system somewhere along the line. So it's not easy, but it's you have a little bit of background going in.
Yeah, it's a really small community at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest help has honestly been, which I think is probably the best compliment in the game, have been the former players that I've had in the past, whether that's from Texas. I've had guys, you know, reach out to some Padre players just naturally, like on their own. And so being able to at least have some type of foundation or some type of trust to start it, I think that's really helped along the way. And then, you know, you run into players, whether it's spring training or whether it's through the season or through trades or through winter ball. It's at the end of the day, it's a really small community, and you know, it's not too hard to get in contact with somebody who knows somebody who can get you to that player.
Right. You spoke on the offensive side of philosophy, what you guys want to do from a pitching standpoint, because you guys, this rotation could round out to be a pretty good rotation. If Garrett Richards stays healthy and you slot Paddock into that two-hole there, what are you looking for from your starting rotation?
You bring up a good point, because I don't think enough people talk about the rotation we have. And obviously, health is the number one deal.
Right.
But I'm kind of happy where this is shaping up. Obviously, Paddock had a huge year last year, comes on the scene. Lamet and Richards, I've seen a lot of Richards in the past with his Anaheim days. Lamet potentially with that slider. Now you throw in Davies, and now you're talking Lucchesi, Quantrill, Bolaños,
right.
Maury Hone, Baez, and we haven't even gotten to Gore and Patino.
Right.
So you know, with that being said, it's start to feel good about, you know, some of the depth that's being added. Not to say we're done, and not to say that, you know, we don't need to continue to improve. And then you go to the back end of the rotation, and Kirby Yates has just been, you know, one of the maybe the best three closers.
He's
in the game.
He was an All MLB-er.
Yeah.
Had his trophy with him yesterday.
First team.
Yeah, you're talking Pomerantz. You're talking Munoz. I'm like, right. Watching video of him. Like, was that 104? Like,
right.
You know, and Matt Strom, and I'm leaving guys off.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I'm really encouraged with the pitchers that we have and that we're continuing to gain.
Have you had any chance to step into San Diego at all? I mean, had you been here a bunch in your life, or you're just getting your feet wet? Do you know where you want to wind up moving? Do you need any help and all? You know, because we don't think about the personal side of
it. You got a place for me?
No, Tony does, though. Tony's got a nice setup.
I'll kick
no.
it with Tony.
Kick it with Tony.
That's what I'll do.
But we never get to talk about the personal side because we just think all you do is work all
right.
day and manage.
He only manages. He never leaves the uniform.
You're just a manager 24/7, and you know, you're moving to one of the greatest cities in America. Yeah. So welcome to town. Have you gotten a chance to look around at all?
You know, I took my first – so we do the affiliate dinner last night. I don't know if I should share this or not. So
go for it.
Yeah. So we get done with the dinner, and, like, I've had a long day, so I'm ready to get out. So there's no car, like, there. I said, you know what? I'm going to go for what are they called, the scooters? I've never done that before.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's, like, 10:30 at night, and like, I finally figure out how to use – all right, I'm going to use this Lyft app. And, like, and so I was a little shaky, like, at the beginning, and I started to go back to the hotel. And I'm like, no, this is way too much fun.
Now
so I started ripping and roaring, like, up and down. And then, like, I get close to the hotel. Nobody's around. And, like, I completely hit a bump and, like, wipe out. And like, I pop up on this slide, and I'm immediately looking for people. Like videoing this. Luckily, I think
nobody got you.
Hey,
by now,
right now, it would have popped up.
Okay, you guys, you haven't seen any footage of it right now.
No, haven't seen any footage.
We can report that he's in one piece. Everybody.
Yeah. So
let me get one quick question. This is kind of a fun question. Before I let you get out, have you seen Peter Gammons?
I've seen him walking around, but I haven't talked to him.
Does it make you think about
no
the All-Star game in Cape Cod where he came out?
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to, like, avoid him. And I'm sure he's not going to recall that, but I'm definitely going to avoid him.
Jace Tingler, man, we know you got to get going, man. We certainly appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us, introducing you to our fan base here at 97.3 The Fan. Man, we're behind
look,
you.
Look
we're
for
behind
him,
you.
Look for him flying around on one of those hovering skateboards in a neighborhood near you anytime.
No doubt. Thanks, Jace.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to the season and continuing to connect.
Definitely.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Jace Tingler, ladies and gentlemen, Padres' new manager. Man, good energy.
Yeah. Now he's got me fired up to ride one of those things. Everybody's
I can totally see him on the scooter, too, at 10:30 at
Everybody's
night.
Told me I got to ride one of those scooters. I'm too nervous to do it. But now if Jace Tingler's doing it, I mean, come on, he's starting to – He might be starting a trend. We'll see. Thanks again, Jace. Appreciate that. Very cool. All right. We're going to keep rolling here, get a little break in the action. Gabe Kapler is right around the corner, set to join us, the manager of the San Francisco Giants. We just keep coming at you from the winter meetings, Tony.
We do. Lakers back in action tonight. They start I believe it's a five-game road trip.
That ends in Milwaukee.
We'll all be standing by. We'll step away, take a break. When we return, as Chris said, Giants' new manager, Gabe Kapler, joins us next. This is Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hanging out with all the baseball luminaries here at the 2019 baseball winter meetings. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., all our guests, of course, presented by Wing Lee Buddha Style Chicken, found at Sin Lee Foods. This is a lifestyle, not a fad, and our latest guest is the manager of the San Francisco Giants, Gabe Kapler. Gabe, how you doing? Thanks for sitting down with us for a few minutes. I know you're not doing anything today, so.
Yeah, no, this is actually my first. I just woke up like 5 minutes ago. This is my first interview of the day, like my first interaction. You guys
look very, very sharp for just waking up.
Right? Yes, I mean, but that's typical, Gabe.
That's good.
That's a joke. That's a joke. Come on.
I'm sure it is.
Tony and I ran sprints this morning. What are you talking about?
Well, he always told me nobody worked harder than this guy.
This dude is an animal.
I appreciate that.
Gabe, congratulations.
Thank you.
New manager of the San Francisco Giants. How has the reception been? Have you been able to get acclimated in San Francisco? It hasn't been that long since you were named manager.
Yeah, I mean, it's been about 3.5 weeks.
And, we just had Jace Tingler on, so you guys are kind of in the same exact boat.
Yeah.
No, I wonder if Jace said that his acclimation really hasn't quite happened yet.
He pretty much did.
I can only imagine.
Like,
these things happen fast. The minute you get hired, you're already on to building staff.
Yeah.
And that takes up all your energy and attention. We were just talking before I sat down about, like, how to make that staff announcement, and I realized I still have two kind of contracts to work on with staff members.
Right.
So we're just not quite yet through the finish time. It doesn't feel like there's quite enough hours in every day. And, you know, you wake up the next day and you try to tackle as much as you can.
What are your thoughts just at a glance of this giant ball club? I mean, I thought that you were watching from the other dugouts last year, but this is a team that made some serious noise around the midseason, then kind of fell off a little bit at the end. But we know the Giants are always a contender out here in the NL West. What do you think?
Well, when I look around, our roster, I see a nice blend of veteran presence, guys like Evan Longoria and Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Buster Posey. Guys who have a lot of dirt in their spikes, a certain amount of success, 3 world championships, and some real success under their belt. And then we have some younger players like Yastrzemski and Dubon and Tyler Beatty and Logan Webb and some guys that are really trying to establish themselves as major leaguers and who want to follow in the footsteps of those guys. And right now I think it's a nice blend. And, you know, Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris, our president of baseball ops and GM respectively, are doing their thing, trying to build the strongest possible roster, and our job as field staff is to try to get the best out of that roster.
Gabe, one of the things I always admired about you is you always were learning, always kind of a sponge, so to speak. Was there anything to be learned from your last experience in Philadelphia?
Let me get out the scroll. it's gonna stretch from one end of the hotel to the other.
Yeah.
Look, so many things stand out about what I learned. I think the first thing is constantly being very aware of how in-game strategy decisions influence players' confidence levels.
Mm.
And Tony, I think you and I can both relate to starting the trot up to home plate from the on-deck circle and having a manager call you back, say somebody's going to pinch hit for you. It's a tough feeling, you know.
Right.
And so while you might get a small strategic advantage by pinch hitting Tony Gwynn Jr. for Gabe Kapler because we have a left-handed hitter and a right-handed hitter, is that strategic advantage enough to overcome the confidence blow when I really wanted the opportunity to hit or Tony really wanted the opportunity to hit? So, it doesn't mean that you don't make the decision, but what it does mean is you're very aware of the confidence level of your players.
Will you be able to keep the Gabe Kapler, though, that you are going into a second managerial job, or do you feel like you're going to have to make a few little changes and alterations to kind of fit into a new position and in a new place?
So I think that it's really important to make adjustments, and if necessary, big adjustments, but also without overcorrecting.
Right.
Because then you're so far on the other side that you forget about how important it is to manage a game with those little strategic edges by way of example. So I think it's, you know, trying to come back to the middle a little bit. And again, it's not about, I think I would lose myself if I wasn't strong enough to then make those decisions, even at the expense of hurting somebody's feelings. Because I think that's a necessity in coaching, is being direct, hitting people straight. And I think, you know, one of my strengths is actually sharing information directly. And sometimes that's hurt me in the past. It, you know, doesn't always make people feel good, but it is, you know, part of what I think is important in coaching.
I think we heard that from Don Mattingly yesterday. Being able to hit guys right in the face. It may not like it at the time, but a year from now, when they start to look back on it, it's a little bit easier to swallow and accept what was being said.
I was going to say, and Mattingly is a great example of that. And you and I experienced it in a spring training setting. But, you know, the last day of spring training in 2011.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly called me into the office. We had another outfielder that was out of options. And the minute I walked in the room, Donnie said, "Cap, it's not good news." And that was it. That was important, because what happens is a player is trying to figure out what you're about to say when you're giving them news that they don't want to hear.
Right.
And they're kind of doing the mental gymnastics of, like, where is this conversation going? So just come in direct. Like, it's not going to feel good. We all know it's not going to feel good. But having that conversation directly goes a long way. I remember respecting Donnie after he had that conversation with me.
Talk a little bit about your relationship with Farhad Zaidi, because you guys work together in Los Angeles as well.
Right. So so that relationship is strong, and it's strong because I think there's a mutual respect, because we both want information directly, because we both believe in a healthy debate and a back and forth that creates good outcomes from those conversations.
Clarity.
And then the other thing is, what I really appreciate about Farhan is he holds me to a high standard. He always has. So when I was in Los Angeles as the farm director, you know, he had a certain level of expectations, and I was excited to try to meet those expectations. Right. And I think what that does is it enables me to expect a lot out of him as a support system, as a partner, as the leader of our baseball operations department. So, again, healthy mutual respect, I think, with Farhan and me.
Gabe Kapler is the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Nice enough to join us here on 97.3 The Fan here at the Baseball Winter Meetings. Gabe, you played for, you know, a lot of different teams, a lot of different situations. Now you've been working for a lot of different organizations. Who have you pulled the most from, or give me some of the people that have had a great impact on you and kind of formed who you are now as a big league manager?
Well, I'll start with my dad. Like, okay. I think he's probably the most influential, and my mom too, you know, both incredibly influential in my house growing up. Yeah. And watching how they built their relationship, how through thick and thin they fought for each other, how they demonstrated teammate behavior with one another. I think those things stand out for me. But, you know, I think what you're asking me is which managers have influenced me from a style perspective.
No, that was actually way more interesting.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, you know, continuing along those lines, I think the first thing we do when we evaluate our parents is say, that's something that I want to do with my children, and that's something that I don't want to do at all with my children. I think the same thing holds true for coaches.
Yeah.
Hey, if I was having that conversation about my swing, I wouldn't probably approach it like that coach did it.
Right.
Now, on the flip side, you might be like, wow, that was a really sensitive way to approach that with the player. I think the player felt empowered. I think he felt like he was part of the conversation, influential in his own player development. And so, like, yeah, we're always taking bits and pieces. Joe Maddon stands out as a guy who told me directly, you got to be you. And, okay. And what he meant by that is, you know, for me, and because he experienced it himself, is you're just a little bit different. And when Joe talks, it's a different style of conversation than like Charlie Manuel or, you know, or even Boach, who's a tremendous manager for so many years, as you guys know well. But Joe's a little bit different, and he embraced that. He didn't try to be, you know, the cookie cutter prototypical major league manager, and he's encouraged me to do the same. And there's no way I'm going to fill Bruce Bochy's shoes or be like Bruce Bochy. He's a World Series champion manager many times over. He's managed some of the best players in baseball, MVPs, and I'm not going to try to be like Bruce Bochy. I can't.
No.
I'm just going to try to be myself.
I don't think
only one Boach.
There is only one Boach. One more question before we let you get out of here. You spent a lot of time, as you said, with the Dodgers in the front office in the National League West. You spent your last few years in the National League East. Is there any difference in the leagues in like the style of play?
I really think of it as the fan bases are the thing that just pops out to me the most,
okay.
Man. Like, you know, you're going to New York and Philly and D.C.
Yeah, you're in the gauntlet right there.
It's just different, yeah. Right? Like, and then, you know, you're coming to Southern California and you're going through San Diego and Los Angeles. It's a different vibe. Doesn't mean the fans are any less passionate or any less caring. They just go about it a different way. Even Arizona, it's a, you know, you go to the ballpark in Arizona and it's a vibe that is unfamiliar if you're coming from the National League East.
Yeah.
I'm not saying one way is better than the other. That is not what I'm doing at all. What I'm saying is they are different styles. Just like, you know, you're walking outside in San Diego, it feels a little bit different than walking down the Embarcadero in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it's more style than anything else.
I was always – I only went to one Philadelphia Phillies game in my life, and it happened to be your dad's last game there. And he came up to bat. And the fans in Philadelphia gave him a tremendous ovation. And I remember thinking, man, everybody always says all this bad stuff about Philadelphia fans.
Yeah.
Man, they appreciate the game and love the game as much as anybody. So I'm sure it was a lot of fun for you to manage there with people who care so much.
I think I'd actually echo that. Like, Philadelphia fans are awesome. Awesome, awesome sports fans. As passionate as anywhere in the country. Very up to speed on the smallest details. Yeah, very understand how the game should work. And a lot of respect for Phillies fans.
Gabe, welcome to the West Coast and welcome to the NL West. Nice having you with us. You're very kind enough to join us on our show last year when you were with the Phillies. We appreciate you joining us today and wish you the best of luck in San Fran.
No, I appreciate you guys. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank
you, Gabe. Appreciate it again. Thanks. Gabe Kapler right there. Joining us here at the Baseball Winter Meetings. Very cool guy and a good manager, and he'll have the Giants in the hunt. We talked about the Padres got to beat out the Dodgers. Yeah, the Giants had three world titles this decade too, so you have to try and beat them out also.
Yeah, that's we tend to forget because they've been on the downslide the last 3 years. But this team, remember, it was what 2.5 seasons ago they were in first place at the end of the first half, and they got caught, and then kind of things spiraled out of control from there.
So. Yeah, but the Giants won three World Series in this decade. The Dodgers won zero. But we're all scared about the Dodgers.
Last
right?
couple decades, actually, for the Dodgers.
Yes. Now we can go all the way back to four decades ago for the Dodgers, if you want to remind all the Dodger fans that. But they'd probably rather not be reminded. Hey, 97.3, the fan wants to send you to Peoria for Padres spring training 2020. Go to 97.3thefansd.com/Peoria. Sign up to win a trip for four to see a Padres spring training game at the Peoria Sports Complex. The Padres will be taking on the Rockies. The game is Saturday, March 21st. So your prize will include a $500 Southwest Airlines gift card for travel accommodations. Good luck from San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have we honestly been on the air this long and not said hello to Matt Scrabe yet today?
We have not said hello.
What's going on?
We kind of hit the ground running in our defense.
We did. We did, but a lot of people tune in to hear what's up with Scrabe.
Do they, though?
That's not true.
What's up, Scrabe?
That's not true.
Do they, though?
Do they, though?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What are you up to, man?
Hello, Matthew Scrabe.
You know, that was pretty cool, getting managers back-to-back.
Yeah.
NL West, man.
I'd like
West
to hold managers. In it. Can you go track down Bud Black and Torrey Lovello? Tell Torrey Lovello that he's got to come on.
You
because
know what? Let me see if I can track down Bud.
Well,
see
Bud, I know, is busy today because Coach Quintero was trying to track him down. And Buddy texted him back and said, "I'm holed up in meetings all day
Can't
long.
Do it."
So we'll see.
That was between them. Yeah.
The coach did say that Bud said he wouldn't be able to be down here before 2 p.m.
Yeah,
so.
Boom. Yeah, it's after 2 p.m. now.
Boom.
So maybe we can get Buddy on. And Torrey Lovello, of course, loves this show.
He does.
It's the only show in America that knows what hospital he was born in.
He walked by yesterday while we had a guest, and I was telling Scray, I was like,
that's Torrey Lovello.
You know, and that was the hint to go talk to him.
For a mortal like me at these winter meetings, you know what's really weird is that none of these managers look like they do in their uniforms.
They don't.
Yeah,
I couldn't point them out.
You wouldn't think Buddy is as big as he is.
Like, he's huge.
He's a big guy.
Like 6'4".
He's 6". He's a tall individual. He's like built in stature. He's not a small guy.
Well, I know what Torrey Lovello looks like, and he walks by, and Tony's like just pointing, and I'm like, what? I don't know who that is. And he whispered it to me. Oh, that's what
Every
it is.
Every time Tony points at somebody, you go out and make a tackle.
I don't want to do that.
That's the whole idea.
I will not be invited back.
That's
safe to say you wouldn't be invited back if you tackled a manager.
They'd have your picture up on the entrance.
Do not let this man in.
All right, Scott Miller is going to be on the program a little bit later on, right?
Yes.
Bleacher Report.
Get the latest
rumors, news, and notes going around. Of course, obviously, everybody's still buzzing about Gerrit Cole and his $324 million contract, 9 years, signed last night. Also has a 5-year opt-out on that contract. So,
Who has a 5-year opt-out?
Cole.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole.
Ah.
So he might be able to pull a Strasburg because, you know, Strasburg opted out of his contract, which was going to be $25 million a year.
After 5 years?
I think it was – I don't know how many years.
No, not Stras. I'm talking about
Cole
Gerrit.
Is 5 years, yes. After 5 years, he can opt out. Can you imagine opting out of a $36 million contract? Because that's what he's making
I'm
right
sure
now.
At the time. Strasburg didn't think he would opt out of a 25.
Yeah, I know. He opted out of a 25 and jumped into a 35.
And as a matter of fact, I think the last year on that one contract, it was something insane, like $45 million a year he would have gotten.
It worked out okay.
On the very last year of the deal?
It worked out okay.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're looking for Padres rumors, I don't think we could give you anything that wouldn't be anything beyond innuendo at this point. There's nothing concrete. You know, everybody's buzzing about, well, are they going to be able to do anything at the catcher position? Whit Merrifield's name has popped up throughout these baseball winter meetings, the second baseman slash outfielder for the Kansas City Royals. We've heard his name quite a bit. We've heard Will Myers could be on the move. I think you could say that all the time. You know, I don't think that's even a baseball winter meetings rumor. I just think that that's something that, you know, the Padres are dealing with Will Myers. And like I said, maybe you just keep Will Myers and hope he's the comeback player of the year.
I don't know if you guys said this earlier, so sorry, but the rumor for Will Myers right now from Ken Rosenthal was that he might be shipped out to Boston in exchange for David Price and a bunch of other people. Would you guys want that?
Would I want that?
Dave, who are a bunch of other people?
Wait, I get David Price.
The
and
only two names
I lose
mentioned.
Will Myers.
Yeah, but
that
David
seems
Price
like a win-win.
Been, but David Price gets paid a lot, and he's been injured.
Well, he's not getting paid by me.
Well, it kind of cancels each other out, though, right?
Yeah, but David Price is good. Will
no,
Myers
I,
has been struggling.
I agree.
I mean,
basically, that's your
if
question.
I'm gonna have to pay a lot of money for a player, I want somebody who's really productive.
To basically ask your question, if you're asking me if I would do it, it depends on who the other people are. Who's well, other name? You said just
there's
Will,
no other name. Here's Will. The actual tweet from Ken Rosenthal. No progress for Red Sox in trade discussions involving David Price. Padres, who badly want to move Will Myers, are among clubs Boston has spoken with. Pod's extremely active, involved in a large, almost dizzying number of pursuits.
Yeah, and we're trying to follow all of them. Starling Marte is another name that has popped up from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Excellent all-star type outfielder. You know,
ooh, there was another deal that was rumored that involved a catcher. That was Will
Wilson
Myers.
Contreras.
No, that was who the Padres have kicked the tires on, reportedly. Oh. But there was another deal I saw. Gosh, I have to look it up. But it was Will for a catcher that is kind of pricey, too, right now.
Okay.
I'll look it up, see if I can find
well,
it.
Well, we'll see.
It's just a rumor, so I don't know if I even
well, I
really
the
need
other,
to find
I
it.
I think the other thing that people need to remember, this is the baseball winter meetings. They end tomorrow. The trading doesn't stop tomorrow.
No.
It doesn't mean like if you haven't acquired somebody by the end of the day tomorrow, you can't get anybody. You can still talk. I mean, as AJ was telling us, he and the general managers are fluidly having conversations. Just so happens they're all in the same city right now.
As a matter of fact, this is usually where most of the bones of deals are done, is here at winter meeting. They don't actually get done until they leave winter meeting. So that's why it was kind of surprising that there were guys like Zach Wheeler and some of the trades that happened before we even got to winter meeting. So I would imagine with all the conversations going on, based on the moods that I've seen around here, that there will be some action after this winter meeting.
What'd you have over there?
Well, I think it's time.
You're about to chime in with something.
You did. You had something. Was that the catching deal?
I read some more, and I don't think it's the correct one.
Okay,
It said Wilson Chirinos, but he's a free agent, so
he's
it wasn't
Robinson Chirinos.
Why am I saying Wilson Chirinos?
Because we just said Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, it says Robinson. No, I was going to say happy birthday to one of our favorite pitchers on this show. Old Hose. He 165 years ago today, Thomas's favorite baseball player, Old Hose, was born.
Talk about bringing something out of deep left field. Like, that's beyond the bullpen fence.
I was trying to save myself from Wilson Chirinos, so.
Yeah, well, you
did. You did not accomplish that.
Old Hose Rasborn, one of Thomas's all-time favorite pitchers, would be what, 160?
165 years old today.
Oh, well, that's terrific. That's
terrific.
Well, yeah, that's terrific.
What about the Dodgers maybe going after
Lindor.
Francisco Lindor and Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, that's very Dodger-ish of them.
What does that even mean?
It means they, if it's as long as it's not a reliever, they're willing to go out and do whatever they got to do to bring him in. And Lindor, because, you know, for whatever reason, and this one kind of mind-blowing in terms of the Dodgers, I've seen reports where they are concerned about Corey Seager. I mean, geez, the guy just came off of a Tommy John. He missed a year. He played, I mean, I think most people would take a guy 270 with some homers and some RBIs and is a pretty good shortstop. So they want to get Francisco Lindor. It'll be interesting because, remember, they're in. Not only are they in on Lindor, they're also in on Madison Bumgarner. They're also in on Anthony Rendon. So Lindor, Rendon, and what was the last one I just said?
Bumgarner.
So their names are kind of scattered around much like the Padres right now.
Yeah, but the Dodgers' names are, honestly, to be straightforward with you, the Padres' names are pretty good players. The Dodgers' names are like superstar players.
Touché.
So, again, you have to keep that in mind, that if the Padres are ever going to win this NL West, the Dodgers are going to have to be the team they catch. All right, pretty good start to the program today with Jace Tingler and Gabe Kapler in the first hour. hour number two. We'll see what that holds in store for us next. I know there's a Big Five coming up around the corner. Talk a little basketball, too, as we come back, because Tony's Lakers are back in action tonight. And the Aztecs are making hay even without playing. We'll talk about that as well. It's Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby. We're all here at the 2019 Baseball Winter Meetings on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.